translation and purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Furthermore, pure devotees never forsake the loving service of Lord Krishna to aspire for their own personal pleasure through the five kinds of liberation. Please repeat responsibly. Furthermore, pure devotees never forsake the loving service of Lord Krishna to aspire for their own personal pleasure through the five kinds of liberation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A pure devotee of Krishna who loves Him exclusively will flatly refuse to accept any sort of liberation, beginning from merging with the body of the Lord and extending to the other varieties of liberation, such as equality of form, opulence or abode, and the opulence of living near the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. I would like to beg the blessings and the permission of the senior Vaishnavas in this assembly, Jananivas Prabhu and the other devotees. Without your blessings, I will not be able to say anything of substance. Hare Krishna. So this is really a deep ocean. This particular chapter, in fact, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is an ocean of prema. And if we remember Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's favorite book was Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as Srila Prabhupada's favorite book. Srila Prabhupada considered Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to be just like a sweet. Whatever you taste, it is very sweet, it's very relishable, it's very wonderful, carrying the spiritual energy of Lord Krishna. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna reveals to Arjuna that the knowledge that he is given to him is the kingdom knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, Pratyaksha Vagamam, Dharmyam, Susukkam, Kartum Aveyam. He tells Arjuna this knowledge is the highest, is the kingdom knowledge. It gives direct perception of the self and it's very happily performed. However, Srila Prabhupada said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of Vedic literature. So in one sense, although all spiritual literature is a transcendental and equal, still Srimad Bhagavatam is even deeper because it takes the devotee to a deeper levels of Krishna consciousness and realization. And further, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the crown jewel of Vaishnava literature, written by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. As we know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world because the general populace misunderstood Krishna, despite Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to really play the role of a devotee so that the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita become revived, re-established. Prabhupada explains little earlier in this chapter that just like when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, that coincided with the re-establishing of Dharma. Pranitranaya sadunam vinasyate duskritam dharma samstapa vartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna, Vraja Krishna, he appears once in 8 billions and 640 million years on this planet. So When Krishna appears, he comes to distribute Vraja Bhakti. However, that appearance of his coincided with the need for re-establishment of Dharma on the planet. And although Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, he actually enacted pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka for the benefit of the whole humanity. In a similar manner, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world for two reasons, the internal confidential and the external reason also. The spreading of the Sankirtan movement that also coincided with his internal mood. He wanted to enter into the role of Srimati Radharani. Lord Krishna wanted to enter into the role of Srimati Radharani, his topmost beloved devotee. And he wanted to taste his own sweetness, as well as he wanted to experience the bliss that Srimati Radharani tastes while serving him. So that coincided with him establishing the Yuga Dharma. Krishna Varna Tvisha Krishnam Sangu Parshada Parshadam. So this coincided with Mahaprabhu's desire to distribute Krishna consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in this way, this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were revealed by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the purpose of Chaitanya Charitamrita is to give us very deep focus on the Siddhanta, on Krishna consciousness, very deep understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. Because, like we said, people misunderstood Lord Krishna, so Mahaprabhu had to come to really reveal what Krishna consciousness is, what devotion is. He took the role of a devotee. Just like we could do one example to emphasize this point, from Mahabharata, when Dronacharya was training the Pandavas in martial arts, and one day in the forest they were being trained into the art of archery, actually shooting arrows. So Dronacharya placed a wooden fish on one tree, on a branch of a tree. He tied it. And then the Pandavas were supposed to actually hit that target. So everyone except Arjuna was seeing other things except the fish. In fact, Arjuna saw the eye of the fish. He saw the essence. He saw the exact purpose that Dronacharya was requesting from them. So Dronacharya told all the other Pandavas, don't shoot. But he told Arjuna, shoot your arrow. And Arjuna shot the fish in the eye. So similarly, this Chaitanya Charitamrita is exactly like that. It does help the devotee, the practitioner of Krishna consciousness, to really understand the essence of bhakti. Prabhupada explains in one purport in this chapter earlier on, he says that the essence of religion is love of God. The essence of love of God is Bhava. And the zenith of Bhava is Mahabhav, which is displayed by Srimati Radharani. And now in these three verses, we saw how three examples are actually two examples in one general example are given. One example of Daruka, Krishna's chariot driver. Daruka was so exalted devotee that while he was serving Krishna, while he was fanning Krishna, This is revealed by Rupa Goswami in Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He experienced ecstatic symptoms due to love of Krishna. However, he checked himself and he considered that the ecstatic symptoms that he's experiencing will block his execution of devotional service or proper execution, attentive service to Lord Krishna. Similarly, the example of Srimati Radharani is given here, how she condemned her tears, which were hindering her eyesight of Krishna. And Srimati Radharani doesn't want to see Krishna just for her own pleasure. She wants to see Krishna so that she can know how to serve Krishna. The third example in text 204 is that this general example of pure devotees, they never forsake the loving service of Lord Krishna to aspire for their own personal pleasure through the five kinds of liberation. So, pure devotees very rare, because bhakti, pure bhakti, is very rare. Krishna very rarely grants pure bhakti. However, every one of us is expected to become a pure devotee. So, how do we do that? How do we also recognize when pure bhakti is present somewhere and when there is mixed bhakti, when there is no bhakti? This is also in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that we don't approach the theology, the Siddhanta, in a very sentimental way, because sentimentalism ultimately blocks one's spiritual progress. One becomes attached to some relative situation connected to this material energy. So, in fact, Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada emphasized, is a science, is not just a religious belief. It's a very careful, systematic science. And although the devotee depends on Krishna's mercy also, the devotee has faith that there is the Supreme Conscious Being also behind the curtain of the material illusory energy. And the devotee depends on the mercy of Krishna. However, simultaneously, the devotee is an intense scientist who is investigating into reality very carefully, so that he can shoot the fish in the eye. So this is actually required. So here in these verses, we are learning something about pure bhakti. And the principle emphasized here is actually selflessness. The pure devotee doesn't have selfish motivation for executing devotional service to Krishna. Selfish motive to the point that even when spiritual ecstasy or pleasure, ananda, bliss, comes to the devotee rejects that. Now we can examine the consciousness of a Vaishnava, and we can examine the consciousness of materialistic persons, as well as consciousness of mixed devotion, mixed devotee, and we can try to understand the exalted position of a pure devotee and how it differs from the other two mentioned above. So, if we examine human behavior, we'll see that every person is acting in this world motivated by the desire to find happiness and pleasure. Every person in this world. Basically, it's an extreme example, but even people who are masochists, they're also seeking pleasure in perverted ways. So every person is actually trying to find pleasure in this material world. So according to our Siddhanta, there is four types of people. There is the mundane worker, fruitive worker. There is the speculative philosopher. There are yogis or mystics, those who are after mystic powers and subtle control of manipulating material energy. And then there is the bhakta, the devotee. So we can examine that the devotees and the materialists, from these four groups that we mentioned, only the devotee is a theist, really. Because the others, fruitive worker, he's just interested in sense gratification. He does not really address transcendence. The jnani is kind of a theist, but because he speculates about the source of this material energy, he is completely baffled by his speculative conjectures. Then the mystic yogi, he is simply trying to gratify his own senses. However, the devotee is a person who is engaged in service. And service to the source of everything, of Lord Krishna. The materialistic people, Prabhupada says, are also engaged in service. Everyone is engaged in service. They're also very dedicated. However, their perspective on reality is incomplete, it's fragmented, it's unclear, it's very vague, and therefore, ultimately, their service is very selfish. Whatever service is done on a material level is simply geared towards sense gratification, ultimately, egotistical service. Sometimes Vaishnavas are criticized to be selfish, and people don't understand really what the Vaishnav Siddhanta is. Because the Vaishnavas are also active, they deal with money sometimes, with different resources, they manage and so on and so forth. So the materialists are thinking, look at this Vaishnava, he's also like me. He's just after money and position and so on and so forth. He just tried to gratify his senses in his own way. So how do we make a distinction? Who is actually a devotee and who is a materialist? Prabhupada says that even in devotional circles, when we are on a neophyte level, Kanista, Adhikari, Bhakta, then Prabhupada calls that type of devotee a materialistic bhakta, materialistic person, a person who is actually not really a saragrahi Vaishnava, not really looking for the essence of bhakti. There is some attraction to Krishna, but at the same time there is so much attachment to name, fame, prestige, profit, adoration, position, so on and so forth. So sometimes it is very difficult to discern who is on what level and you know what person is doing what. And why do we need to discern? Because we are servants. That's why we need to discern. If you don't know who is who and who is where, how can you serve them? You understand my point? How can you serve? If someone is a very advanced person, we can serve. Because it is perhaps obvious, hopefully. If we have a sincere consciousness, we can perceive that. If someone is equal, we can serve them sometimes, and sometimes we may not be in the mood of serving them. But hopefully, if we have a higher vision, we can serve even peers, not only the seniors. And also, we need to understand what is a junior person, so we can serve them too, and they can rise above the duality of material energy and enter into a purer level of consciousness. And also, we should distinguish who is a materialistic person, so we can serve them too, by preaching to them or by encouraging them to examine Krishna consciousness. It's all about really being a servant. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada was speaking about the different levels of people and you were saying Brahman is a first class and Shudra is fourth class, and one person arrogantly asked him in the audience, so which class are you? And Prabhupada apparently had tears in his eyes and he said, I am fifth class, I am the servant of everyone. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlaba. So he could see that Krishna is present everywhere. And he wanted to inspire every person to make a contact with the source of everything. So the devotee's consciousness is very different. The devotees, if we compare to the materialistic person, there is one thing that is very emphatic and very easy to notice. A materialistic person is easily distracted by pleasure or pain. Sometimes a materialistic person gets a bonus at work. He doesn't, he wants to basically go on a holiday and stop working and whatever. And so he stops his service, direct service. Sometimes if he's in pain, he will try to avoid doing his service or pretend doing his service or whatever. So sometimes materialistic people, despite their dedication, they cannot fully actually be consistent. They become inattentive in their service. That's also with devotees who are on beginning stages. Devotees get distracted by their own desires and their own senses. And just for example, sometimes we Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman Ki Jai Gonitaya Ki Jai. Sometimes we perform kirtan, for example, and some devotee plays kartals, and then after some time you see them, they're playing in the wrong way, or sometimes they stop playing and they're thinking of something and, you know, looking around. So they get distracted because he's got his own things, not the service of Krishna, in mind. It's just, it's there. And sometimes we may be carrying externally the same duty of service, but internally we are distracted by another thought, another desire, another vision, another absorption. So that's why Prabhupada said, when there is no pure bhakti, there is distraction. There is no attentive, full attentiveness. Even offenses are there because of inattentiveness. There is many different characteristics, vices, like the six enemies of the mind, envy, lust, greed, anger, illusion, madness. We can even say the seventh enemy of the mind is pride. Pride is also there present. So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually really, really cutting down all these vices by inspiring the devotees to rise above self-centeredness by practicing of Krishna consciousness, ninefold process of devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. So by practicing this ninefold process with great attention, scientific attention, and gradually these enemies of the mind, the robbers on the highway of bhakti, become completely transformed into virtues. And the pure devotee, one becomes a pure devotee. So even like Daruka in this case, Daruka experienced ecstasy by serving Krishna, not mundane ecstasy. Sometimes in devotional service we experience mundane ecstasy due to some kind of karmic activity we do. There's some reaction comes to us and we feel happy and we get distracted. So sometimes mundane suffering distract us from serving Krishna. But Daruka was not experiencing mundane happiness. He was experiencing ecstasy due to love of God, and he still did not entertain that. So this is the difference. The devotee is extremely attentive how to serve Krishna. There is no disfocus. It's complete focus how Krishna can be served. And Krishna is served through his devotees as well, and to all living beings. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurum. One devotee is completely focused at all times, 24/7. How can I serve everyone? Because everyone is Krishna's part and parcel. Vishnu Shakti para prokta kshetra gyaketa tapara avidya karma samgaya trite shakti ishete. Vishnu Purana explains that the source of everything is a person, Vishnu. Ultimately Krishna, who is the source of Vishnu. And he has multifarious energies. Anturanga Shakti, internal energy. Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy, the living entities, and then avidya karma samgaya. There's the material energy, bahirangi shakti, the external energy, which is simply the reflection of anturanga shakti, or the when the jiva wants to exploit, become independent, enjoy it, then immediately anturanga shakti becomes bahirangi shakti. And one becomes caught into the cycle of birth and death. So the devotee sees this full picture. The devotee doesn't see just Krishna. He sees the devotee, he sees the conditioned living entities, he sees the peers, and he sees more advanced Vaishnavas. He or she takes shelter of them, serves them. Tadvidi pranipatina pranipraśnena sevaya upadikshanti teginam genina statva darshinaha. Krishna advises Arjuna, just try to approach a bona fide spiritual master and render submissive service unto him, because the self-realized soul has seen the truth. He can impart real knowledge unto you. So in that way we could help ourselves to move from one level of consciousness to another, and ultimately to reach these very exalted stages of consciousness exemplified by Daruka, who is in Dasyaras. And we can see even on the level of Dasyaras, there is such ecstasy and such purity is there. Not only Sakyaras, Vatsalya, or even Madhurya Ras, there is such purity, which is the topmost example of Srimati Radharani here. Even Dasya Ras has got so much purity. So another way we can detect pure devotion is actually that the pure devotee in this world does not get distracted, not only when he or she experiences ecstasy through love of Krishna, but it does not get distracted from serving Krishna even when there is suffering. It's very interesting. So we could see Srila Prabhupada's example, and you know, some of his disciples are also, and even grand disciples can show this example, how devotees don't get distracted even if they're suffering in some way or other. They just carry on. And then we look in Shastra and we see the Pandavas were put through tremendous suffering. Prabhupada says Krishna does this to show how great his devotees, that even if they are suffering, they won't give up on his service. Completely attentive. Prahlad Maharaj, and then in Chaitanya Charitamrita we can give the example of Haridas Thakur, who was also tortured, but he never became distracted from his service to Krishna. So if we really practice seriously, this bhakti process will become just like that. Why? Because Krishna is like this. Krishna is never distracted to serve all the living entities. Although he is Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is on the platform of love, Vasudev platform. So he's completely absorbed in loving exchanges with his devotees. So if you become devotee of Krishna, you will become just like that, because Krishna is like that. you have no personal consideration. The Isopanishad gives the example how Krishna is actually complete. Om purna adha purna purnat purnat udachate purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vishishate. So if Krishna is complete, the source of everything is complete. It must be complete, otherwise how could he be the source? Because of that completeness, Krishna does not lack anything. Therefore, his service to others is only out of love. And Krishna is free of duality. He is above hankering and lamenting. He is free of envy because he is already complete. How can Krishna be envious of someone if he has something? Envy only exists there. When we see someone has something we don't have, we become envious. But Krishna has everything. How can he be envious of anyone? So when we become Krishna bhaktas, we become free of envy. We become atmaram, self-satisfied. We are not hankering or lamenting for anything from this material world. And we are engaged in first practicing very sincere Vairi Bhakti, so that we can rise to the Raganuga, Raga Bhakti. That was the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us this Raga path, the Vraja Bhakti, spontaneous devotion to Krishna. So by practicing very sincerely, with intense humility, very scientifically examining our own consciousness as well as what's going on in our environment, studying Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's books, our guide light, they are the Paribhasa Sutra for this ISKCON movement, the foundational scriptures. Studying Srila Prabhupada's books with great care will actually give us that direction, because Prabhupada gave further the elaborate purpose to make sure that we won't misunderstand Krishna again, who came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the process of devotional service, which is essentially given in Bhagavad Gita. So we are meant to become like the Nitya Siddhas, and that is done through practice. We are practicing every service that we do. We have to examine whether our consciousness is really a consciousness of at least attempted devotion towards the Lord. We should try to direct our consciousness in that way, that I am going to try to put some devotion into what I'm doing. So practicing like this, with that kind of internal perspective of what I am doing and how I am doing, will enable us to become more and more focused on the essence, and of course receive more of the mercy of Krishna. And all that is done in intense humility. Trinadapi sunichana tarori vasahisnunamane namanadina kirtaniya sadhari, chanting the holy name, performing deity worship, cooking, serving the devotees, performing any kinds of service, must be done with that kind of internal attitude that I am doing this for Krishna. You see, as soon as we forget Krishna, it becomes something different. Mixed bhakti is there. And the results that we will become stagnated in bhakti. We become blocked, sometimes for many lifetimes. So we have to be concerned about ourselves, because Mahaprabhu is concerned about us as well as Prabhupada. Therefore, if others are even more concerned about ourselves, we have to become even more concerned about ourselves. This is very, very important. However, the last point I'll make is that, you know, despite this concern for ourselves, we should not become salvationists, thinking only of ourselves, that I just want to save myself or something like this. I want to reach this Krishna Bhakti. But while we are helping ourselves, we should invest time in helping others, reaching out to others. Again, that point I'm trying to bring back, to see every devotee as an object of service, object of love, care. And every person who is materialistic, involved in materialistic energy, every person who is suffering due to karmic activities, we should have compassion for them. We should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And we should try to avoid inimical, envious people as much as possible, because if we are not able to help them, we may harm them by going too close to them. So from a distance, we can pray for them. And in that way, having that mood, that mentality of reaching out to others in a loving way, that will win the favor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu will see this person is trying to serve my mission, and Mahaprabhu will become very, very interested how to reciprocate with our reaching out to others. So in that way, we could become more and more spiritually progressed to the point of really becoming like the Nitya Siddhas, because Prabhupada wants us to become like that. Our spiritual masters wants us to become like that. The whole parampara, Krishna, everyone is waiting on the transcendental plane for us to return back to them. They are waiting for us. Therefore, we have to feel that their anticipation, and we have to become excited that Krishna is waiting for me. What am I still doing in this world? You know, this should be our consciousness. That intensity must be there. Krishna is waiting for me. I have nothing to gain in this material world. I got nothing to lose because I own nothing. So that is the mood that we have to have. So how we can progress is, first of all, through very careful study of scripture, hearing from very sincere Vaishnavas, following in their footsteps, Guru and Sadhu, and that faith will carry us through gradually into good association, then performance of devotional service, then clearing of the heart of all the vices and arthas that we explain, becoming fixed, developing transcendental higher taste, ruchi, higher taste, and then through that developing attachment to Krishna, and then to experiencing really that gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, Ragabhav. He came to give this ecstatic love for Krishna. Otherwise we become stagnant, life after life, dry, twigs, just like that. So that humility must be there. And I'll end with sharing one story with you that I heard from Srila Sachinandan Maharaj. I'm not sure if it's coming from the Puranas. I did not read it in Srimad Mahabharat, which that story illustrates that point, the, of intensity that we need to have to reach the goal of Krishna consciousness. So one time Krishna was playing chess with Rukmini in Dwarka. And Rukmini noticed that Krishna was not focused on the game, and he was in fact losing the game. So she was observing how Krishna's mind is somewhere else, and after some time she said, "My Lord, I can see your mind is somewhere else. You're not really playing today. Is there anything wrong? What is going on?" So Krishna revealed his heart to Rukmini. He said, "There is one of my devotees in great distress. But unfortunately, I cannot help. I am just wondering, how can I help? So that is what is occupying my mind. I'm really sorry I'm not present, but this is what I'm thinking." So she said, "But my Lord, can't you just go there and help, you know?" And he said, "It will be too late. If I walk today, it will be too late." So Rukmini said, "My Lord, then how about calling Garuda, your personal carrier, and maybe going with Garuda? It will be faster than walking." Maybe in that way you can reach and help that devotee. So Krishna said, it will be too late. And then she said, but you are the super soul, you're present everywhere, so why don't you just appear there and help that devotee? And Krishna said, unfortunately, it will be too late. So Rukmini was really wondering, what is going on? What is the solution to this problem? So Krishna said, the only hope for me to get there on time, if I travel on the royal path of my devotee's tears. So that devotee was Draupadi. And at that time, Dushyant was pulling her sari, and Krishna was seeing all that. But because Draupadi was calling on grandfather Bhishma, on Dronacharya, on her husbands to save her, she was not focused on Krishna at that time. Then Krishna was not responding to her. She was trying to help herself. She looked for help from the audience of the present princes and kings. She could not help. And then finally she raised her arms in the air and she cried out. What did she say? Hey, Govinda! She cried like that, and in full desperation she addressed Krishna. And then Krishna immediately appeared as her sari, we know the story. And then he protected Draupadi in that way. So these are not just stories to entertain each other. These are not just kind of some mythology, some kind of a Hindu stories and all. This is reality. This is reality. So the more we have faith in Krishna, the more we are theists, the more we are Vaishnavas, the more we are not in the other three categories of karma, karmi, jnani, or yogi. We become more and more Vaishnava devotee, and then gradually Krishna's mercy becomes more and more available, and really the miracle of Prabhupada, the gift of Prabhupada becomes available to all of us. So let us really become very eager to get that gift. Let us not waste time, not to speak of a whole life or many lives. Let's not waste even moments to develop this mood. So let us practice that mood. Let us be aware of it. Associate with devotees who have that mood and you'll develop the same consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gaur Premanande.